Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com joins us. And, Kev, the Oilers going up against Hutchinson tonight. And Hutchinson, last time you saw him for an extended period of time was in Vancouver on March 4th. He then started a game on March 14th against Ottawa. He allowed two goals on three shots, played 6 minutes, was pulled, hasn't played since. So basically in 4 weeks, he's played 6 minutes. Where would a goalie be vulnerable in game situation by only facing three shots in 26 days in the NHL? Is there a way to expose a goalie like that? Like, do they show rust anywhere?
That's a really good question. I think it would be too hard to make a blanket statement on that. And I think the one thing that you... Well, actually, I will make a blanket statement. And it's that the blanket statement most people make is probably the wrong one. How many times do you hear about a goaltender who's struggling or a goaltender who, like you said, hasn't played in a long time, and the default narrative is, oh, you got to get pucks on this guy? Or, you know, the Canucks had a game recently where the one where Joey Decord got hurt, and Philip Gustafson comes in off the bench, his first taste of NHL action, and all I heard on the broadcast was, oh, you got to get pucks on this guy. They're not getting any shots. You got to get shots. Well, the worst thing you could do, truthfully, is just throw everything on net. If you throw a bunch of 99%ers, as I like to call them, in other words, shots that goalies stop 99% of the time, what you're probably doing is warming him up, is giving him a chance to feel good about his game, to get his skates under him and not worry. So I think that's the one thing I would avoid. I don't know that I can say there's a certain type of play you should be trying to create other than good offense is good offense. And if you force a goaltender, if you can create off the rush, if you force a goaltender to make reads on lateral plays and elevate. Like, to me, Michael Hutchinson is a guy who's well cast in a backup role, doesn't often beat himself, is normally going to be in the middle of the net, won't get caught chasing or wandering and give you tap-ins, but probably doesn't take away the perimeter of the net. Like, he's a guy who is a nice, safe middle-of-the-net guy and maybe struggles when you start to pick corners. All goalies do to an extent, but that's where I sort of have always looked at him. We're well-suited for a backup role, but not going to be an every-nighter in the National Hockey League. And so the one thing you want to make sure you don't do is give him a bunch of easy shots, thinking, oh, he hasn't played, let's get a cheap one by him. Because the reality is, all you're doing is giving him that opportunity, like I said, to feel good about his game. So that's the caveat I throw out. I hear that all the time, and frankly, the thinking should be opposite. Doesn't mean you look for the perfect shot and you don't get anything on net for a long time, but the idea of just throwing pucks in net, unless you've got traffic, because that's the one thing you can't replicate in practice, is traffic and the speed. And so if you can force him to find pucks looking around screens, then maybe throw a few at net. But if you think you're just going to come down the wing and blast away 50-footers and that's the key to success, the truth is you're probably just making him feel good.
Kevin Woodley joins us on Edmonton Sports Leader, TSN 1260. I want to get to Carter Hart. I saw the comments today from his head coach. He's just having practice time. They said, hey, the coach and the goalie coach, they want him to work harder. Now, he didn't go into details on specific stuff, but, you know, they said they were going to give him some days off to just work on his game and, you know, practice harder, work harder. What do you make of those comments coming today out of Philly?
I don't mind the idea of going to work with your goalie coach. I don't mind the idea of, we've talked about this before, especially in this season, how hard it is to stay on top of your details with such little practice time. And Carter's a guy who, at his best, his details are magnificent. I'm a little nervous about the way it was worded. Now, I haven't seen him practice, right? Like, I'm in Vancouver and Vancouver only, obviously. I don't know what his work habits have been like this year. But that is never something that I've thought about worrying about with Carter Hart. Like, his work ethic has always been impeccable. And my fear, frankly, is that they're confusing hard work with being overactive and busy. And there's elements of that in his game, too, to be honest with you, Jason. And so, yes, go back to work. Spend some time with the goalie coach. I think this is a good idea. But I'm curious what they're working on. Because what I see in Carter Hart when I watch him play now is a guy who looks nothing like Carter Hart of the past couple of seasons. And so I don't know what it is they're working on, but if it's reinforcing more of what I'm seeing versus what he used to be, then, again, you can work hard all you want. I heard Vigneault use the word work smart, too. Carter plays a very smart game, and at times, to the untrained eye, it can almost look slow. And I feel like in an effort to speed him up, in some ways they've lost who he was. And so this is a weird one because I don't know why. And this is a tough environment, Jason. This is one of the worst defensive environments in the league right now. But has he lost his confidence and tried to do things he doesn't normally do because of the environment? Is it because he's lost confidence? Is it because this is what they're asking him to do and it's different than what he's done? And if it's the last one and these 2 or 3 days away from the team are just going to reinforce that, then the best analogy I can make is they are essentially, it would be like taking a young Alex Ovechkin in the midst of a scoring slump and saying, you know what, Ovi, let's lay off the one tee. Let's go to wrist shots. The one tee is not working for you. Honest to God, Jason, like there is a foundation in Carter's game that it looks very different than what a lot of other goalies is. And so if your solution after this foundation has made him this player and got him to this level at this speed is to say, this isn't working, we need to make you like every other goaltender and reaching more and spreading more and getting, you know, I mean, we always use the line, and it's probably not a fair one, it's just an easy descriptive, the belly flops per 60. Like, the amount of times that Carter Hart is extended right now is like nothing, like, it's just through the roof compared to years past. He is going full splits on saves he used to, on plays and lateral plays he used to beat on his skate set and square. And then on other lateral plays, like, there's his last game where he didn't last the period. Like, it's like a 70-foot cross-ice pass, like, from top to bottom, so like more distance than the width of the ice. Like, it was this huge, long pass. And he's sliding across on it on his knees and oversliding and getting outside of position, and then it goes back the other way for a backdoor tap. And so you can look at that and you can say, well, that's a really tough play. Double goes across the slot line twice, backdoor tap in. Or you can look at it and say, and you could say, like, why is he sliding on this? Like at what, where is it? Is it because he doesn't trust what's going on in front of him? I can tell you why he goes to his knees early. It's because his setup and his stance are just, again, they're not Carter Hart. He's so hunched over at the waist when he sets up on pucks that when it goes laterally, his only way to stay on top of it is to drop a knee and push. Whereas before, when his chest was upright and his tracking was on plane, he could skate down on that lateral play, stay on his feet, beat the pass, be set. Now he's going across on his knees. He's paddled down. Like, he just looks nothing like Carter Hart. And so if that's not because of the environment and that's not him panicking because things aren't going well, if that's what's being taught, then 3 more days of that ain't going to fix Carter Hart. It's just going to be 3 more days of trying to make him like somebody else. And from here, that will be the wrong thing.
Kevin Woodley from Ingo Magazine and NHL.com joins us. Kevin, Alex Nedeljkovic is, off to a great start. Some people have said, hey, why didn't the Oilers claim him when they lost Forsberg? They could have claimed him right then. He's fifth in the NHL with a .929 save percentage. But you're saying not so fast. Why?
Well, hey, listen, I was on the why not claim Alex Nedeljkovic train in the first place. But at the end of the day, for the same reason they lost Anton Forsberg, they didn't have a roster spot, right? Like, because they were carrying all those defensemen. So you would have had to do the same thing with Nedeljkovic that you did to lose Forsberg in the first place, which was put him on waivers. But there was a reason Carolina claimed Forsberg. It's because they fully expected to lose Nedeljkovic. And so the fact they didn't surprise them, surprised a couple other teams that, you know, like, I'm obviously, you have to have a spot to put him, but other teams that were comfortable with their goaltending assumed that other teams who shouldn't have been would have claimed him. And so now we see him, like you said, like top five in the league, and everyone must be going, oh my God, we could have had this guy on waivers. Well, I'm looking at the adjusted numbers right now, and this isn't an anti-Alex Nedeljkovic thing, but it's just a grain of salt thing as everybody clamors for, we could have had this guy and we didn't take him for free. he has the highest expected save percentage in the National Hockey League right now, and he is underperforming it by 0.1, which is not, like, that's not bad. Like, he's just barely underwater there, but a lot of what you're seeing in his game right now, and I've had a few goalie scouts that have looked at him and feel like he's kind of just hanging on, and there's elements of his game that look like they're treading water in the National Hockey League. The numbers sort of match that. So, you know, this kind of reminds me of Tristan Jarry last year. He had the highest expected in the NHL. He had a good season, but not enough people, you didn't take rocket science to figure there was going to be a regression this year, at least statistically. Even if he didn't regress as a player, it's just that type of environment doesn't normally maintain itself. Now, Alex handles the puck at a Mike Smith level and with the confidence of a Mike Smith. Like, he really gets out there and plays it. And much like Jarry, who is very active, like, that can actually make a difference in your defensive environment. Like, he's improving his own life because his team doesn't spend time in its own end because he handles it so well. But when it comes to actually stopping it, he's actually underperforming his environment. So just because he's top five in the league in terms of that raw save percentage, this is why, you know, goaltending doesn't exist in a vacuum, as I always like to say. What's going on in front of them matters. When you adjust the numbers, it's more like 27th in the NHL, and probably at that point, no longer a guy you're clamoring about. We could have had him for free. Why didn't we grab him?
Kevin Woodley from InGoal Magazine and NHL.com joins us. Linus Allmark. Is he a goalie that the team should be looking at?
Yeah, if he could stay. Like, there's question marks there. I'm not going to suggest that you're getting the next Dominikashuk out of Buffalo grabbing Linus Allmark. But, you know, for the past couple of seasons in a row, Jason, when he's healthy, you know, we talk about adjusted numbers. And the reason I look at this is because his are similar to what I saw out of Cal Peterson with the Kings, and why I so confidently went into this season when I looked at those metrics and said, this Cal Peterson's my breakout candidate for this year. Even with Jonathan Quick as a glass ceiling, I felt he was going to have a breakout year because these numbers were trending this way. Well, Linus Allmark isn't far behind him. Behind a pretty lousy team, he has consistently outplayed what's going on in front of him. As a matter of fact, you could argue that, well, he wouldn't fix everything in Buffalo. The fact he's missed so much time with this lower body injury recently is probably just exacerbated the problems there, not having that safety net. And he's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. So if you're confident about the health, and to be honest, there's been enough lower body injuries that you start to wonder, but if you can be confident about his health as a UFA, and I'm a team looking at solutions, and I watch how he's performed behind that team, if anybody can actually stand to watch them anymore, he's a guy I'd take a flyer on and see what he would be like behind a different environment if you could get him comfortable quickly. Because, again, just as Nedeljkovic's raw numbers are somewhat inflated, I think the raw numbers on Linus Allmark have been pushed down a little bit because of the team he plays behind. And if you put him behind a better environment and he adjusts okay, you know, you could, whether it's a safety net for a team looking for a plan B, like, say, the Colorado Avalanche into the trade deadline, or whether it's somebody in unrestricted free agency this summer shopping for a bargain, I think you might have one in Linus Allmark. Again, as long as you trust that he can stay healthy, because, and we've talked about this before with other goalies, you know, being a number one goalie, a big part of that job description is being available for selection, and that has been a problem for him the past couple of years. But when he's on the ice, he's been really good.
Kev, great stuff as always, man. We appreciate it. Have a good week. We'll be breaking down lots next Monday on potential goalies who might be moving in the final week before the deadline.
Yeah, I look forward to it, Jason. Thanks.